Hello and welcome to a very special New Year's Day edition of the Full Force Monthly, brought to you by Hoarder, the collector's app. I am Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, and in this regular series we get stuck into specific G.I. Joe related topics with different special guest hosts every single month. So who's joining me on this episode? Well, first up, we have one half of the Articulated Points YouTube channel and my regular co-host on the Full Force Weekly, it's Patrick Not Picard Stewart. Yes, the General himself is joining us again for the sixth time in a row. It's Justin General's Joe's Bell, and completing the lineup for this month's ep is one of the men behind the awesome Total Action Force series, author, writer, Irish. It's Paddy Total Action Lennon. Okay then, on today's episode, we will be looking back at 2022 with some of our favourite things and looking forward to what 2023 will bring. No version therapy on this episode, but you've still got yourselves a brand new show of, what is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Monthly, Yay. The Christmas one, right?
No, this is New Year's Day. One? This is New Year's Day.
New Year's Day. Yeah, it's a whole new year. I messed it up.
Well, what am I wearing this shirt for then?
I mean,
dressed up all for Christmas.
Technically, it is Christmas.
Because it's Christmas Eve Eve.
It is Christmas Eve Eve right this second as we record, so that's totally fine. But no, Pat, our Christmas episode's tomorrow, or the weekly. That's what
okay,
we're doing.
Okay, well, get used to seeing this shirt then.
I can't even. Paddy, let's start with you, buddy. It's been ages since we had you on. How are you doing, my good man? Also, do you like the fact that one of the things that you are in your description was just Irish?
Yeah, well, I mean, that is my greatest attribute. It's a funny story. We'll talk about it later when we talk about my favourite thing I got this year. But when I collected this jersey that I'm wearing, the lady in the Pat's Potoka Patriots shop had put giant Irish sticker on it. Identify that I was the person.
That is amazing. I wasn't aware of that. That is hilarious. And I was there with you when it happened. I must have been off in a daze at that point.
Thing is, I mean, that close to Boston, I mean, that could cover like probably 40% of the population.
That's true. And actually, I pointed this out to you, Justin, because you were there, and I said, how did she know I was Irish? I said something like that. And Justin's like, Paddy, you sound like the most Irish person imaginable.
It's like you sound like a walking stereotype, Paddy, all the time. No, that's amazing. Great to have you back on, mate, and can't wait to hear all your stuff for 2022 and beyond. Justin, how are you doing, pal?
Doing good. Doing good. Happy to be here.
Are you, though, really?
Yes, I dressed up and everything. I mean, come on.
He's got his Christmas sweater on.
Enjoying it. You're here for your sixth month in a row doing the monthly. You must be enjoying yourself, Justin.
I guess, yeah. I would have told you to F off by now if I wasn't, I would think. But
what I did was I found the only available hour Justin has in the week, and I just attack him with it every month.
You thought you were going to actually have lunch that day? No. 1 o'clock.
No lunch.
You got to record with your...
No food today. yeah, you just eat in G.I. Joe for breakfast, lunch, and dinner today. Pat, I forgot your name because it's not like we hang out with each other every week or talk to each other ever. Pat, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing just fine. I guess I don't know whether it's Christmas or New Year's, but I will figure it out before we're done.
I'll take full responsibility for not being clear enough and also not sharing any documents until a moment before this actually went live. Anyway, right, yeah, here we are. Just had Christmas, but we haven't because we're recording this pre-Christmas so that I have time to bloody edit it. But how's it going for everyone? Has it been just the most ridiculous week ever? How's it in Ireland?
Fine, actually. I managed to get, you'll understand this, Chris, I managed to get in and out of Marks and Spencer's in less than an hour today.
How? Which is, how? You must have been ruthless, wielding
remorseless efficiency.
Oh, you got that snake eyes sword, didn't you? You got that delivered. So you're just like running through there like, ah! That'll clear out of Marks and Spencer's in no time. Mate, that's impressive work. That is impressive work. You must have had to elbow a few people in the face, though.
There was a lot of shoving, yes.
Justin, how is it for you, mate? I know, like, we've spoken and you've said it's been ridiculously busy.
It is pretty busy. It's always crazy in the week leading up to Christmas. It's interesting, though, as the kids get a little older, it gets a little bit less busy because, you know, they're not quite so...
Don't say it. Don't ruin Christmas for everyone, mate. Don't say it. And it's coming.
They're just older and more mature, and they can handle things a little bit better. So
that's well, good. Yeah. Thank you. We're not going to spoil
What happens when they get older is the price you're paying for their gifts doesn't go down. They just get less for that same amount of money.
So it's
less shopping. So, you know, it's all right.
Less wrapping, I guess.
Yeah, less wrapping too. Yeah, okay. So it's not so bad. But yeah, I mean, we're you know, tomorrow will be the big day because we host a couple of different families that come through on Christmas. Jen's family and my mom stop by on Christmas Day.
Oh, so I thought you meant other random families. I thought you meant just random families.
We walk out into the street and just say, "Hey, you know, come here and let us feed you." No, but yeah. So there's a lot of prep going on Christmas Eve day. Thankfully, this year it's on a Saturday, which is kind of nice. So I don't have to kind of balance it with work. So
that's good. And Pat, yeah. I know you're working, buddy, on Christmas blooming Eve.
Yeah, I'm not working Christmas Eve. I'm working Christmas Day. Yeah.
And you are working Christmas Eve at 10 a.m. Eastern for an hour.
That is true. Yes. Christmas
no days off.
I will show up.
No rest for Pat.
No rest for the wicked or Pat.
Is the theater still busy on Christmas Day? I know that used to be a big thing when we were having a big family get together. We would used to go to my grandparents' house, and all the uncles and aunts and cousins would be there. And almost every year, you know, a group of them would go to the theater on Christmas Day. That was kind of tradition. So is that still something that happens?
It's a lot of people's tradition, yeah, to go on Christmas Day. But the days following Christmas also, for me anyway, traditionally are where it gets really, really busy. Like that period in between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
That sucks. We're at
Chocolate Week, as we call it here in Ireland.
Chocolate Week.
Chocolate Week.
Just because of the additional chocolates bought during that week.
Just because all you do is sit around eating chocolate for like 4 days.
That sounds lovely.
I finish all my chocolate on day one just to just so I can have a free week. We are currently experiencing some rather interesting weather in the United States of America. I'm not sure if it's happening around your way, Pat and Justin, but it's like got down to minus 10 or something the other day. And I know it's been even lower than that in some parts of the country. But we had to drive 2 days to get to Missouri to see the fam. And the second day we left at 2:30 a.m. from the hotel to get here. And yeah, I know. Like, so we got to sleep around about 10-ish the night before. So we didn't have much sleep. And then we had to get up and do a 8.5 hour journey from 2:30 in the morning just to miss the storm, as it were. And we only caught a little bit of it at the end, thankfully. But it didn't hinder us at all. So thank fudge for that. Anyway, that's where I am at the moment. I'm in Missouri with the fam. That's why the surroundings are.
I don't see Unicron. You didn't bring Unicron with you?
Could you imagine? We should have just flown
him.
Put
him on the roof of your car or whatever. And, yeah.
Like an exterminator van. But yeah, we'll get rid of all your planets. Right then. Well, we should probably get on with this episode because Justin's only got 3 minutes.
I complain that these go too long and then I do nothing but yap the whole time.
That's actually on me. Right then. On to the next segment then. We are going to start with our favourite classified figures of the year. Each presenter will discuss their fave figure, and maybe we can do some honourable mentions at the end. Okay, let's get stuck in first then with Paddy's Choice, bud. And if you've got, I don't know, other honourable mentions to talk about first, or you want to build up to it, go for it. You don't have to jump in straight away with your fave.
No, I'll jump in straight with my fave. I should preface this by saying that I'm not all in on classified, like some people on this call are. I'm keeping it to Tiger Force and Cobra Troop Builders, so
nice.
I'm not buying everything. So my choice for the year is this fella, the Cobra Officer. I just think he's a really, really nicely done figure. Really great sculpt. Love the weapon assortment you get with him. It's just one of those things where you're like, I don't know what they could have done to improve him. Some very, really, 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 really nice figure. I don't think I'm going to bother getting the Python Patrol version because he looks too much like a guy wearing a high-vis jacket. But this regular officer release is really, really a top-notch figure. And yeah. That's it. That's all I got to say.
I'm all about high-vis patrol. What I will say about that figure as well is the storage on it is just the best, man.
Like, yeah, it really is. There's a place for everything.
So cool. Yeah. Like, that little belt can hold, like, the little magazine clip. It can hold... isn't there, like, a little sight on one of the rifles that comes off?
Sight for the AK-47.
Yeah.
Sorry, and... definitely not an AK-47. Don't get me in Hasbro in trouble. place for the knife, place for the gun, and again, just a little sight you can clip on top of the AK. Really, really nice touch. Nicely well thought out figure. I know when we saw the first listing for it, we're just like, oh, they're just going to do the infantry again, and it's, you know, got a whole bunch of new parts that really make it stand out from the Viper and the Cobra Island infantry trooper. So yeah, really very, very solid figure this year.
You have to agree with that one. What are your thoughts, lads? Pat, you're a fan of the officer?
I'm mostly, my takeaway from that is how different it is from the trooper is the big plus, because I know that it seems like it's just been tempting for Hasbro to make them entirely the same or mostly the same. And this one comes across as mostly different. Mm. I actually haven't really played around with mine that much, but, I did. It is one of the ones I decided not to skip because I'm not all in right now on classified, but I'm also not all out. Like, I'm open to getting them if I can get some of them for the good price. And the other ones that, you know, I insist upon getting as I see them, I just choose them. But yeah, I like it. It's a good choice.
I agree with that. I think they could have easily just done a body buck and changed the secondary and changed the helmet. Done.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I thought they'd almost negated doing an officer by including that kind of infantry squad leader,
Island. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I thought they'd just negated that completely by doing that and then having, like, the Cobra Island trooper as a possible officer option and then the infantry as the trooper. And it was, yeah, I was quite happy that they went ahead and did an officer as well. Justin, what about you, mate? Are you a fan of it, or do you hate everything that we're talking about and you just want to die and leave right now?
No, the officer is great. I think it might be one of the most, I think it's a little bit underrated, actually. I think a lot of people sort of, I'm glad nobody on this call is doing that, but a lot of folks just don't seem to talk about it a whole lot. And I think what's interesting is that when the Cobra Trooper was released, Hasbro was all in on kind of new concepts, new designs. You know, the Trooper looks nothing like the 82 Trooper looked, which is part of the reason I love it so much. And somehow they managed with the Cobra Officer to retain some of the look of that Cobra Trooper, but also sprinkle in some of the more vintage stuff with the web gear and, like, the more normal kind of pants and boots and stuff. So I think they managed to kind of cross that gap where the vintage guys think it looks great as a vintage officer, but it still looks like it blends in with the other Cobra Trooper. So it's pretty amazing the way they were able to kind of mesh those two concepts together. I think it's a fantastic figure. Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah, that's a good shout, that, Paddy, to start us off with for the year. It feels like it was revealed like the year before as well. I think was it revealed in Pulse 1027, I want to say?
It was that special Pulse exclusive members only.
Yeah, but then, yeah.
Party, yeah.
And then dropped this actual year, didn't it? Because I remember getting that early in the year. That was interesting. This is the other thing as well. Trying to work out your favorites for 2022 and you're going, when did that come out? When did I get that? Because it feels like most of them have come out in the last week.
80%
I got Outback so long ago, he was practically a last year figure.
Outback was from 1363, I believe, the original release date that was. Amazing. Right, we'll get to Outback later, spoiler alert. Let's move on, though, to Justin. And what was your favorite classified figure of the year, my good man?
Yeah, I it was a tougher choice than I thought because I looked through a bunch of the different offerings. And,
I had trouble picking a top five, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many and characters that I wouldn't necessarily have originally been invested in. They managed to do really nicely. I mean, I could have easily, you know, Sergeant Slaughter is he's obviously a staple of G.I. Joe. He's never been one of my favorite characters. I love him in the Sunbelt cartoon, but you know, I've always been more of a comic guy. And while he did show up in the comics here and there, you know, he's not one of the guys that I consider a linchpin of G.I. Joe, but the version of the figure they released is phenomenal. Easily could have been the best figure of the year. You know, Serpentor is a recent one, had a lot of great aspects to him. You know, Spirit, I'd almost forgotten about Spirit entirely until I started looking back through the list, and I'm like, I mean, Spirit was an absolutely insanely well done figure. Could have easily been at the top of the list. Not to mention Alley Viper, Croc Master. I mean, they're all over the place. But what I landed on at the end of the day, and it's hard to explain why, but the Crimson Guard is what I chose. He's always been one of my favorite characters. I really like the whole elite undercover sort of lawyer accountant sort of mythology that Larry Hama developed for him. And the figure, it's like I said, it's hard to explain, but there's every once in a while you get a figure, you open up and you just kind of feel it, and it just feels right. Like the joints all move really well. It feels bulky. It feels hefty. It feels quality, really well made.
Same.
And the Crimson Guard has all of those aspects, you know, and even if he is kind of beholden to the vintage aesthetic, which I'm not always a big fan of, I think they did a really great job of it. And the figure is just phenomenal. I mean, a couple minor quibbles, you know, the backpack color and some silly things like that, you know, and the strange little knob at the bottom of the backpack, you're not really sure what it does. But beyond that, all the various accessories have a place where they belong. And it's just a really exceptionally well done figure, and ended up being my favorite of the year just because of mainly the way it moves and poses and just how it feels. It's a great offering. It's a spectacular offering among a whole year of really great offerings.
I agree with that. I think the Crimson Guard's one of my faves. When I had that in hand, I was amazed. Like you mentioned the heft and the weight of it. I was exactly the same with you. I thought, my God, there's a lot going on here. And then like you look at all the textures on there and all of the little details and everything are really spot on. And I think I won't take what Pat's going to say, because I've got a feeling I know what he's going to say about the head sculpt. So I'm going to leave that one for you. But they just nailed so many aspects of this figure. And again, storage. Everything can be stored on that figure and he doesn't have anything in his hands. Like you can have the rifle on the backpack, you can have the sword on his side or on the backpack. It's just mm-hmm. wicked. Really awesome, really fantastic figure, and I agree with you on that one. Plus the whole, and I'm sure Paddy will talk about this as well, the fact that the Crimson Guard was everywhere in the UK. Like it was on, you know, in the comics, it was in all of like the merchandise visually. So yeah, the Crimson Guard is a big one for me, and I know Paddy as well. But yeah, I mean, what about you, Paddy? Seeing as I've just been talking about what you like, was the Crimson Guard something you're interested in?
Mine is still waiting to be collected out in the Big Bang and Dundrum. I need to saddle the horse and get over there in the next few days after Christmas and pick him up along with Bazooka and fingers crossed for Kondo as well. So yeah, I haven't got him in hand yet. Hopefully next week.
Awesome. Well, that might be one of your 2023 looking forward to things. And Pat as well, like Crimson Guard.
You totally were right. The big thing that excites me about Crimson Guard is the helmet sculpt, because for a long time that felt like it was something that wasn't entirely being revisited or wasn't quite the way I liked it. Like you had all the O-ring reissues kept on having the removable helmet, which didn't quite look, was a great feature, but didn't quite look vintage. Once you got them on there, it didn't quite look as good as the original one. Then there was like the direct consumer one, which I thought was an improvement on that, but still not quite what I wanted out of the helmet shape. And then the 25th one was just something else entirely. And then you also had the retaliation one, which I thought improved upon the 25th one. And I love that figure.
Yes.
But it also just kind of went a little bit of a different way with the helmet. But this time, I think this is the best sculpt of a Crimson Guard helmet. This is amazing. Like, if they were to make a life-size Crimson Guard helmet, that's something I always wanted. But I kind of wanted there to be a figure that got it perfect in an updated form before some company does that.
Yeah.
So they have like a really good reference material to go from. And if they made this helmet as a full size something, it's definitely one that I would absolutely buy right away.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. And funny, the iconography behind the Crimson Guard and G.I. Joe, where it's not as visually iconic to the mainstream for, like, you know, Cobra Commander and Snake Eyes and all that lot are, it is still, I would say, within the fandom of G.I. Joe, probably way up there in terms of iconography. So the fact that
they've got it right here, like right amongst all these other kind of like Storm Shadow and Destro and Baroness, it's right there. So
there
I
go.
Think that definitely is. Yeah.
It's up there, isn't it? Definitely. I'm not, like I said, I'm not sure how the casual sees it as much, but definitely in terms of, I'm not saying, you know what I mean? Like the just someone just walking through the aisles and remembering things from their childhood, as opposed to someone that is knowledgeable to some degree of the brand in the current scenario. But yeah, I think a Crimson Guard helmet would be eaten up, especially in the cosplay community. Like, yeah, that would be a dope helmet mm-hmm. to have access to. Like, the Cobra Commander ones have been fun. Trick or Treat Studios have just obviously done their one as well, with a removable faceplate, which I'm really interested to see how that works, like magnetic and everything, which is kind of cool sounding. But if it doesn't have, like, all of the electronics and stuff on the interior, like in the movie, when he's like, "Your faceplate, man," then, yeah, I think that was more of a Macho Man Randy Savage impression than it was Rope.
I don't want a cosplay helmet Commander. That's got the plastic explosives kind of embedded in the helmet like it did in the comic.
Yeah,
it's
you want it to blow up as soon as someone touches
exactly.
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's messed up. Right. the Crimson Guard, another great shout there. Pat, buddy, it is now your turn. What was your favorite figure of the year for Classified?
Whenever you'd see a list of who is coming out, this wasn't necessarily going to be a shoe-in for me. This was not one that was like, this is definitely it. I have enjoyed a lot of the ones that I've gotten. There's been a really lot of big hits, and I was very tempted to put Sergeant Slaughter in here, but my choice is Zorana.
Oh, I didn't know it was you. Sorry, carry on.
There you go. I had to pick Zorana because I think the fact that the Dreadnoks are not uniform makes them somewhat interesting to look at.
Yeah, definitely.
And all the details that they put into her, in addition to how well her, just like the joints aren't really obvious on that figure, it just, everything head to toe on that figure looks amazing. It's a home run of an update to Zorana. The fact that they gave you the options for the hair,
yep.
I didn't need those options. Like, if they would only have released one, I wouldn't have called them on it and been like, well, you know, it would have been nice if we would have gotten the other one. It would just would have been fine. But the fact that they included it, to me, is a big bonus. So I also love just the way that they handled the saw rifle, so that it's not just a saw.
A weed whacker.
Like a bayonet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, head to toe, there's just so much stuff that they did. But if that is going to be the definitive Zorana for a while, then I'm good with that. They did a really nice job.
I was really impressed with how, with the hair, you're talking about the different hairstyles, the way that they go on. Like with Lady J, it's slightly different. But with Zorana, like with Lady J, it's got like the peg and everything in there as well. So when you take it off, there's like an indentation on the head and there's a big gap on the head. But if you take it off Zorana, it's effectively you just got a bald Zorana because it kind of slots on there really comfortably. The little sideburn kind of bits on one of them kind of almost holds it in place nice and tight as well. And just mm-hmm. they're just, and it's really, it's just like boop. Boop, boop. But like you couldn't shake it off. Like it
doesn't look like a separate piece. It doesn't really look like it has separation or that it's...
No, it like suctions onto it almost, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really impressed with that, definitely. And I love that kind of hot knife in her like backpack idea as well, where like that comes out and it's like the backpack's like warming it up kind of thing, and you pull it out and it's got that like hot blade on the end of it. I mean, it's gnarly as heck. But a really cool like addition for her.
That feels like a Dreadnought creation.
Yes.
You know, that's something that Dreadnoughts would have. Because they all are about having some really weird accessories. And the accessories being out there. And so I'm glad that they've established that they're maybe going to have something new to offer as they do the Dreadnoughts. And I would like the other Dreadnoughts to be treated the same way. You know, yeah. Not 100% the same as the original, but... Also, just very classic looking. I don't think anyone objects to any of the small differences on Zorana.
No, you're totally right on that one. Also, I think the hot knife thing is to make toast just from cutting a loaf of regular bread. It's just like instant toast for them to have with their chocolate donuts and grape soda in the morning. That's what it is, I think. So I want more food related weapon accessories. I want like some sort of mixing bowl, and I want microwave on a stick that like Road Pig can beat people with. Done. These are all great ideas. I'm sure Hasbro are already dealing with it as we speak. No, great shout on that one. What about you guys? Are you fans of the Zorana figure?
I don't have it. I have a bit of something to admit here, a bit of a crime, I think, to admit, is that I don't really like Dreadnoks. It's just as a
Hot
class
take.
of as a sub team, they just look like a bunch of hillbilly sex criminals. And I've never got into their whole aesthetic at all, ever.
It's because they're mostly
Having said
British,
that,
isn't
though, well, of course, probably half of them are British as well.
Oh, yes.
um,
I'll take full
but
responsibility for that.
but the yeah the the um so the aesthetic of them is never really grabbed me. So I will say though that Zorana is an excellent looking figure. I really love the accessories. Again, you mentioned the updating the weed whacker weapon to have the saw blade under the machine gun is great. I really like the hot knife idea as well. It's a science fiction concept that you've seen in a lot of other stuff. Like it's quite common in things like Gundam and so on, like the heated blades and so on. But to have it in here and classified, I think is actually it's a nice little kind of storytelling thing where obviously she stole that. She didn't invent it. She took it from somewhere else. The Dreadnoks or whatever raided it from a G.I. Joe base or anything. I think that's a kind of a storytelling thing that's kind of
She
cool.
raided it
So
from
yeah,
a
she's a nice.
restaurant that make toast immediately. That's what she took it from a
A
toast restaurant.
Benihana or something. Some teriyaki joint.
Exactly, exactly.
So it's she's again. She is a nice figure of a sub team or subgroup I hate with a passion. So there you go.
That's great. We get you on here for your hot takes, so that's fine. Your hot knife takes. And Justin, anything on Zorana?
Oh, she's great. Yeah, I mean the figure looks really nice. I did have an issue with mine where kind of the arm sort of detaches kind of easily. I've seen that in a couple of different places,
Yeah,
but
I didn't get
I was able
that.
to get it right back on pretty easily.
Does it come
But
off? Does it come off easily?
it does. I took a few pictures for a future review, and the left arm especially popped off like three or four times while I was taking pictures. It was kind of weird. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there,
Interesting.
but I mean, like I said, it goes on pretty easily, and it's I can pose it and stuff like that as long as I'm sort of careful with it, but the figure itself is just it's phenomenal. I agree. I like that they've got the replaceable hair sculpt idea, you're both right. If both of them fit really well, they look natural, they don't just fall off when you move the figure around. I think that's one another benefit to the 6-inch scale is just the ability to kind of make those accessories like that. They're not restricted by size quite as much, and yeah, that hot knife in the backpack. The original figure had the backpack with that kind of weird handle on the top that nobody really knew what that was all about, and Hasbro decided to explain it in a certain way that I think was really great. It's an awesome figure. If I have any regrets, it's not really about Zorana more, and it shouldn't be a regret because I like the fact that they go modern with some of these, but one thing that I liked as a kid was, Zorana and Xandar and Zartan had these kind of like matching shoulder armor textures that kind of unified all three of them together. The classified Zartan went in a different direction with his shoulder armor entirely, so that unified look isn't there anymore. It's a very minor thing, and I would bet lots of money that Hasbro at some point is going to do a more vintage accurate Zartan, so it's probably not even really worth mentioning, but it was kind of an interesting thing as I did a side-by-side picture and kind of looked and said, oh, that used to be a really cool touch that's not really there anymore. Just kind of speaks to the difference in mindset between where they were doing these figures, a year or so ago and how they're working them now. But, articulation, fantastic, the overall design. Zorana and the Marvel Comics especially really kind of rose to a rank of leadership. I really like that we've got a really quality version of that character in this scale. It works really well. I think it's a great figure.
Yeah, I kind of loved that thing you're talking about with the shoulder armor when I had Xandar as well, and I just kind of I got like a lot of joy out of the matching pieces. I don't know why. Just it's interesting to have the different colors as well, and
I mean, they looking at the figures, you know, apart from me, they don't look like you wouldn't look at Zartan and look at Xandar and say, oh yeah, they're related. They're part of the same group. They're totally different looking figures. But that little piece of shoulder armor, you're like, oh okay, that really ties them together. Well, that and the color change skin, which obviously isn't as much of a thing today, but back then that was how you connected them all. Zoranna and Xandar looked like they were a pair. Zartan didn't really fit until you looked at that shoulder armor, and then it really worked.
It's in their DNA. That's not a shoulder armor. It's just part of their actual
their skin
body. Gross. Right, yeah, another great shout there then, Pat. Thank you very much for giving us Zoranna. I didn't know it was you. I'm going to talk about my favorite now. Now, this one is interesting because there's been this probably should have been 2013's figure, I think. It's one of the ones that I think everyone waited for so long. I had to get it like as soon as I could, and I got it from Enderman Toys. Shout out to Nick and Mass and the team in Norwich of the UK. But this was one that when it started kind of like showing up in Europe, I was like, yeah, I need to get this now. And that, as you're probably already aware of, is Tiger Force Outback. Now, when I started messaging out, Tiger Force Outback was going to probably be my pick, honestly. That was the one that was at the top. And when Paddy responded with, probably Tiger Force Outback, and I was kind of like, oh, damn it. But then you continued the message to say that you were going to, but I want to, I think I'm going to do the officer instead. And I was like, yeah, do that. Do the officer instead. That sounds good. I'm sure Tiger Force Outback will come up from somebody. So yeah, like, and I'm happy that that was the case, because this figure was one, like, I remember when it was first, well, and not first revealed, when we found out that this was coming, I remember just going, this has got to be an error. It's probably a mistake. It's probably a Tiger Force figure, obviously, because we knew about that in advance. But it's probably not Outback. There's no way they're going to do a European exclusive figure. But then I think nowadays you don't necessarily look at Outback and think just specifically European exclusive, because it's quite, it's just as iconic as the RoboSkull is. And the RoboSkull is people refer to it, you know that it's Palatoy, know that it's UK, but it's more widespread. Globally, much like I think Outback, and I think Forastero had a good there's a reason for why that's the case with Forastero, because obviously that was the South American version of effectively the same thing, with, you know, slightly different. I know Pat can get into some very like minute details on the two differences between the figures, but you know, that probably had a lot to grow the impression that there was a figure with a tiger with a kitty shirt, rocking an orange kitty shirt and a Michael McDonald hair and beard combination. So, like, I had Outback version 1 first, and that, when I got that figure, I was in Norwich. I got it from Gerald's in Norwich, and I remember getting that, and there was another figure I got with it. I can't remember exactly. I'd have to have a look at what was out that year, but I would remember it if I saw it. And I remember getting that Outback and just being, like, utterly blown away by how cool the accessories were, but how simple and effective the figure was. It was like the belt and the straps and the backpack and the gun, and then the little flashlight. I have to say that correct. The torch, not because it sounds like something else when I say it the other way, that kind of locked into the leg. I thought there's so many awesome things about this figure. He's wearing a t-shirt in the middle of the wilderness. He's got, like, with survival written on it, which is the most ironic thing ever. It's like, if you're a survivalist, you're probably going to put on a few more layers, buddy. You're probably going to look like me as a Norwegian fisherman right now. Streets of Rage Norwegian fisherman. Shout out to Chief, who bought me this hat a couple of years back for Christmas. Chief from Talking Joe, old Talking Joe presenter. Anyway, that's irrelevant. Outback. So I remember just being blown away by that figure anyway. The artwork as well. Oh my God. What beautiful artwork for that figure. Just like holding the backpack, gun up in the air, looking in the distance, mountains and stuff sort of in there. And then the fact that they brought out, I think it was a like a placemat or a it was something, wasn't it, that they brought out, like a tray that had the entire artwork untouched by human development, just like had the awesome artwork, and then that mountain range off that he was actually look like in the middle of, just absolutely gorgeous. What was it? Was it a tray or a placemat? I can't remember what it was.
I think it's like a hot plate or something. Yeah,
it's weird.
It's a metal, it's a little metal tin thing.
That's, I think it's something like that. But yeah, incredible, incredible. So like blown away on every level, right? Then I saw him with an orange shirt and a kitty design on the front of it, and I was like, okay, yeah, perfection can be improved, can be improved upon. And obviously, I mean, I remember at the time, again, that was a Norwich purchase in the UK, probably Gerald's again, or it might have been Toymaster, I can't remember exactly. Anyway, I bought it in the UK, and I just remember just like having them both, and just, I don't know, just poring over them all the time. Like the design and everything about it was great. So when it was revealed officially, I was like, amazing. Not only does it open the door in the classified line for interesting foreign figures, but it's like going that little bit further to another area of the world that isn't always like mined from in the UK and Europe. It's usually, we're usually like, you know, prior to any of the kind of recent things that have been kind of going on, it was always South American homages. I mean, how many times did we see Glenda? How many times did we see Canary Ann? How many times did we see those kind of like figures that were like had nothing to do with Europe or the UK? It was all about, you know, we didn't see like Red Blooming Laser or any of those until much later, much more recent times. And now we're getting this, you know, this Tiger Force thing. I'm like, well, that just opens the door for Hit and Run, for Sneak Peek, for Blizzard, for Psych Out, for Tunnel Rat. So, you know, it just opens the door for those. And I think if they do any more, then I'll just be, I can die happy that we at least got Outback, the Tiger Force Outback. And yeah, for me, obviously a lot of that had to do with why I love this figure so much. However, the figure itself is executed, I think, to perfection. Like, the updates are cool, everything. I mean, I didn't expect them to do the basic kitty design on the shirt. Like, it would have looked bonkers, and it wouldn't have looked right. It would have looked kind of like a custom if they'd put the kitty design on originally. Having said that, what they did end up doing, I kind of liked too, because I remember when those logos dropped, and there was like the Tiger Force, like a Python Patrol, Cobra Urban Division, the SEAL team, and all that, all those different logos they dropped, and Hot Topic were doing shirts and all sorts about them. I remember seeing that and going, actually, that's not a bad little update. That's quite a nice little. It kind of reminds me as well, and I spoke about this on my unboxing of this lad the other day, Bazooka. We're in the Midwest at the moment, and there's a water tower over there with an eagle on it, and the eagle is designed like the Philadelphia Eagles eagle. So it's like the whole high school, college, do you know what I mean? Like the kind of IP infringement doesn't exist sort of scenario. And when I saw that on the shirt, it kind of just reminded me of like a high school or a college team in like the US, kind of like a sports logo kind of thing. But anyway, execute to perfection, brilliant figure. They got the torch to work really well, not the, I'll have to say it very, very clearly and carefully, but flash light. They got that right, and I think the little strap on the leg as well works perfectly well. Just brilliant. Just an all-round awesome figure. One thing I will say, and I think actually I'll leave it to Paddy to talk about this one, because I know you were not a fan of the gun, were you, buddy?
No, I'm not. I was going to say, it's just, it doesn't hang in the backpack, and it's as bendy as bedamned. I just had to, I had to get rid of it as soon as it just did not work for me at all. It's the only flaw on what is otherwise a flawless figure. And again, it was tied for my number one, but I assumed you would pick it, so I didn't want to pick the same thing as you. So that's why I went with the Cobra Officer instead, which is, you know, which is tied for me for figure of the year. So
that's why I like Paddy, yeah, and again, I don't like Pat or Justin, because they always just say, I don't care if Chris wants this one, I'm going to take this.
Take it anyway.
Yeah, just like you said, that gun almost just ruins it for me, and I had to swap it out with one of the one of the ones from the Snake Eyes and Timber pack, because I was just like, I cannot have this bendy POS with this great figure.
Well, I'm glad you had like plenty of guns to choose from, because that Snake Eyes and Timber pretty much equipped everybody in the line.
Yes.
It's like Snake Eyes. You come with a few rifles. Oh no, 20 rifles. Brilliant. It's like the Lady J of was it Retaliation?
Retaliation.
Oh my god. Yeah.
That was awesome,
15
though.
Weapons.
I bought like four of those Lady J just to fill up with the weapons.
It's like getting a Marauder thing back in the day, wasn't it? Like getting a Marauder Gunrunners pack in.
Ordering, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. What about you guys? Any fans of Outback out there?
I love the figure. I mean, I think it's fantastic. It's you know, I don't have the childhood, you know, sort of memories of it that you guys might, but you know, I think it was one of the figures, like, as I started to sort of learn about foreign releases, that was certainly one that rose to the top and was one that I had to go seek out, just because it was so different. I mean, a lot of times, you know, the British or UK or South American releases, it was often, you know, just repackaged or minor repaints. There was the occasion where they actually went, you know, created some new characters down in South America, which was always really cool. But then, yeah, the UK, you know, Outback was more than just a repaint. It actually had a whole new kind of logo on the shirt, you know, the white hair compared to the red hair. I mean, it was just like a whole different character, and I just it was really one of my favorites. And actually, you know, I was one of those folks who was getting really, really frustrated with the Outback situation, because, you know, Target kept on delaying it and delaying it and delaying it, and I finally you know, I've believe it or not, Chris, I've actually got another friend in the UK besides you. His name's Russ, and he hooked me up with he had an extra Outback. He just, like, I can basically walk down to a local store and buy him anytime you want. So I asked him to hook me up, and he sent me an Outback, and it ended up getting here about 3 months before Target finally delivered their orders. So I haven't had it as long as you guys have, but I have had it for a few months now. And like you said, the execution is just amazing. It's another one of those figures similar to Crimson Guard. It doesn't have quite as much heft, but just as posable, it was so posable, and the way the accessories all work together. I do love the rifle. I agree. I'm not a big fan of kind of the fixed strap.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of gets in the way a little bit. Mine isn't quite as bendy as it sounds like Patty's was. And I just love the rifle's design. Love the way it fits in the backpack. You know, the removable shovel, the torch, as you say, that goes, you know, goes with him. It's just the pistol and the holster. I mean, this is one of the things that I really love about the classified figures, is almost every single figure comes with all these different accessories that slot into holsters and sheaths and stuff. It's prevalent throughout the entire line, and I think it's something that some Joe fans kind of take for granted, because if you look at a Marvel Legends figure, even a Star Wars figure, they may come with one accessory if you're lucky, maybe two, but Classified is littered with them, and really well thought out too. Like, they don't just toss guns in there like maybe with Retaliation Lady J. They actually, pistols that fit in holsters, knives that fit in sheaths, you know, and shovels or whatever that fit in certain
places.
Yeah,
the shovel, of course.
You know, it's really well done and well executed, and you can tell, no matter what the character is, every single classified figure is conceived of and made with thoughtfulness. Like, they're putting some real effort into how these figures work, and you can really kind of feel a love for the brand with each classified figure that you get, you know. And like I said, it doesn't matter if it's a Snake Eyes that is, you know, super popular and everybody's going to be buying, or if it's a Zorana, or if it's, you know, a Tiger Force Bazooka or whatever, you know, no matter what the character is, they all have these really well thought out accessories that work amazingly well together and look pretty cool. So it's impressive. Yeah.
I think the thing with Outback is how you're talking about South America, obviously, and Forastero. They were a little bit releasing those things a little bit behind the releases, the original ones. Like, I think that's an easy thing to forget whenever you look to see what actually did come out in South America. It didn't come out right at the same time as the American or the UK release. So I think that what happened speaks to the appeal of that figure, because they had all that hindsight that they could look at them. They probably looked at sales numbers, and they probably looked at just what looked visually cool and what would offer something unique and different to their toy line. And they didn't release all of the Tiger Force figures. I think the only one I can even think of that they released for sure, well, they did release a few Tiger Force figures in their Tiger Force section, but the only one from the UK that was a UK exclusive was Outback, and it's obvious to me why they chose that one, because it's such a great figure to look at. So I think that the reason why he fits so well in the classified line is the same reason why Forastero became such an obvious choice to release in Brazil. And that's just the fact that it's just a really good looking idea for a figure.
Definitely. Yeah, well, there you go, guys. That's our favorite figures of the year. Let us know in the comments, of course, what yours were, and whether we're all lunatics for choosing what we chose. Right then, next up. Hey there, guys. Just wanted to let you know about an app that I've been helping to develop for a few years now called Hoarder. But what is Hoarder, I hear you scream? Well, a number of years ago, I discussed a project with a good friend of mine and now co-owner slash developer about an app that could help collectors of all shapes and sizes. I'm talking about the shapes and sizes of the collections, really, but also people. The app would be a place where you could share your new items, build collections and sub-collections, or just browse the feed to see cool things. Well, we made it. We tested it for a number of years, and now it's out there for you to enjoy on iOS or Android devices. You can upload a single item at a time at your own pace and slowly build your collections. You can post status updates that could be related to your collections, like getting a delivery or posting a scene in which you can tag items in that image if you've uploaded them in the past. You can add tags to your items in order to easily search for and find them, and of course to add them into your respective collections. You can like posts, comment on them, or start a conversation with a fellow collector, directly message users you follow, and even add items you see on your feed to your want list. If you prefer to use your computer or laptop, have no fear, you can use the website browser version and even utilize the awesome inventory option, allowing any user to change certain details, add notes, upload bulk items from spreadsheet files, and download a CSV of your entire itemized collection. We made this app for collectors, and we hope that you enjoy using it as much as we enjoyed creating it. Now get to hoarding. Okay, now we have our favourite G.I. Joe related moment of the year. This can be anything from an official reveal to a personal experience, as long as it happened in 2022. Okay, let's get stuck in with Paddy's choice first. Then, Paddy, take it away, my good man.
I imagine a couple of our choices are going to revolve around the weekend where we all went to see G.I. Joe in the cinema.
Hey.
Or Action Force, a movie, as it's called. yes, so I rather stupidly decided, you know what I could do? Spend $800 on flights and go see it with the guys in Pawtucket in the Gillette Stadium. While I was there, however, obviously, Justin, you are a Pats fan. Go Pats.
Absolutely.
And they have this, the Patriots store is there beside the stadium. You can go in and buy jerseys and various other things. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I'd be able to buy a retro bazooka-looking jersey in the Patriots store. And Justin's like, I'm sure they can sort you out. And he escorts me into the Gillette Pro Shop. We found the right jersey. It took a little bit of finding, actually. They were stuck at the back somewhere. And I decided to spend $130 and get myself a number 14 jersey with my name printed on the back of it. So here it is.
There it is.
And I love it. It's actually surprisingly warm. It's actually nice to wear it in the winter. So I was going to get either bazooka or Katzenbogen put in the back. And the lady asked me, you know, what would you like put in the back? And I didn't want to have to explain my 35-year fandom of Action Force, of whom Bazooka has always been a favorite character of mine ever since. You know, he obviously has a story in the weekly comic, The Sunday Drivers.
Oh, yeah.
We used to hunt down the
in the All-Striker. Yeah, yeah.
In the All-Striker, yeah. And obviously a great cover of him crashing through the window on the All-Striker. Yeah. So he's always been a favorite character. So I spent probably the most expensive purchase I had in America other than getting to America. but you know, $130 well spent, I feel.
Well, I know,
and then we got to go see Action Force the movie right after that. So
absolutely,
it wasn't the dub that we were used to, though, was it? It was weird.
No, strange. Yeah. Like, what's a G.I. Joe?
What are they yo-joing about?
Sergeant Slaughter.
What's this? What is this weird show we're watching? Justin, I'm sure you enjoyed that as well, didn't you?
Oh, it was a blast. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a Pats fan, so, I mean, the fact that we could see a G.I. Joe movie, that I could hang out with you guys And being in Gillette Stadium was like, it was the perfect storm of, an amazing experience. I had an absolute great time that entire day. And yeah, it was definitely one of the highlights of 2022 for sure. Walking through the pro shop with Patty and getting that jersey chosen and tracking it down and all that, it was a lot of fun. And I just, it's one that I'll remember for a while.
Was that your favorite moment as well? Paddy getting that jersey or
He close,
did,
close.
Did
It's
have
one
this
of them.
strange look on his face, like he was proud of me as his son or something.
Anything that funnels money to the Patriots is good in my book. They need a little extra money. They gotta do something better on offense, so we'll take whatever money we can get into that.
Justin is old enough to be your mother. Anyway, right then. Yeah, Justin, what is your favorite? What is your favorite moment of the year?
It was funny because you mentioned wanting us to kind of pick some of these, and as I was going through 2022, I was like, wow, this was actually a really great year. There's a lot of amazing moments that happened this year. You kind of think about, the hoop storm that we're in at any given day, and it's like, that everything is terrible. But then you look back, you're like, well, actually, no, I had a lot of great things that I can comment about this year. I'd say, obviously that trip to see the movies with you guys was certainly one of them.
Pat's
an
getting
absolute
sad.
Highlight.
Pat's getting sad because we're talking about it constantly. Look.
I'm sorry, Pat.
Pat was at your fest that weekend, so he did okay.
Yeah, he did all right. But yeah, I mean, that was an absolute highlight. I was fortunate enough to have, the Renegades RPG, Operation Cold Iron released this year.
Hell
which
yeah.
I was fortunate enough to be able to write a little bit for, thanks to Ryan Costello for hooking me up with that. So that was obviously a pretty big highlight, something that I was really happy about. But honestly, sort of, what kind of was the cherry on top of the cake was had to do with the Sergeant Slaughter release. And it was the fact that, as we all know, we're all friends with Adam Riches. We've known him for a while, know about how much he loves Sergeant Slaughter. It's pretty much his favorite character in the G.I. Joe mythology. And he's also an amazing artist, did a lot of the card art for the G.I. Joe Collectors Club figures and comics for IDW and things like that. So the reveal that he was actually doing the art for the Sergeant Slaughter classified figure, I think, is kind of the ultimate sort of cherry on the sundae for 2022. Just the fact that there was that highlight that mixed in with all these other fantastic highlights. That is just something that I think I really have to mention. So it's a close call between the movie weekend and between that. I don't think I want to put one above the other. They were both really, really fantastic. Helping Patty spend a bunch of money. I'm always looking forward to that, but, I'll just suffice to say it was a really great year with full of great moments. And those are just a few of them.
Absolutely. And also while we're talking about things that you've personally achieved, Paddy, we should mention Total Action Force Volume
Absolutely.
2, shouldn't we, while we're here?
Yeah, forgotten. I had entirely forgotten that I wrote and released a book this year.
I mean, how that must feel bloody good as well. And I'll tell you what, that's one of my... I know we'll get to mine later as well, but like I will throw this in here now. Being able to write the foreword for that was a huge highlight of my year and one that I felt very honoured to do so and really enjoyed the experience of being involved in that way. So that's something I have to kind of say as well. Like, what amazing book, by the way. Absolutely sensational. I don't think anybody would have anything bad to say about it. It's one of the best releases of the year in terms of kind of the written prose. Sorry, Justin.
no offense taken.
And obviously the toy photography kind of helps to push it over. So massive shout out to Brian on that one. But I mean, how do you feel about that too?
Yeah, great. Look, I'm just happy to be able to get to work on something official.
Official as well. I know.
Of any fan, just to be able to say, yeah, look at that. We have a license or agreement with our names on it.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty awesome.
Unbelievable. And shout out to David McDonald as well. And Dave Tree. And who else was involved in the process in terms of
all the fans who gave us access to their stuff? Obviously, myself and Brian don't have a complete collection of anything. We have a few
potatoes
here and there,
loads of potatoes, but yeah.
But we were lucky enough that people like Will Robbie, like Stephen Kelly, William Shelton gave us access to their stuff for us to photograph it. Particularly Will Shelton, who had a complete boxed line a collection. So most of the box stuff is his Will Shelton's collection. So
awesome.
That was, and that's, yourself, Chris, that's actually quite hard to achieve. yeah. Some of those Action Force boxed items did not get out there in huge
in
numbers.
Big numbers. So, yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah, so we're very lucky.
Well, they did, but all the kids opened them and played with them. Like, no, there's no
well,
one. No
that
one.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. But you're right.
Well,
totally.
You don't even see them for sale that often.
No, you don't. You really don't.
All of it. You know, actually, this year at the Roar Roll Call we were at last month, that was the first time I'd seen quite a lot of those items boxed. Boxed stuff at Roar Roll Call last month. But again, it's not easy to find that stuff. So we have to thank, you know, obviously Dave Tree, obviously. All the guys who helped us with Robbie, Will Shelton, and Stephen Kelly to help us put that book together. You know, it's not just our work; it's the work and the help of a lot of other people as well.
Absolutely, shout out to all of those amazing individuals and yourselves, of course, for putting together an absolutely stunning book. I can't say enough good things about it because it's just and I get goosebumps thinking about it now. It's been literally every time I get a spare second, which isn't that often, but it's right next to me, and I'm just like. This is amazing.
It's an amazing book.
I love what you did with the box section, like kind of like 3D Joe's style, you know, how he's got the in his books and everything, but the Action Force boxes and just seeing them all like that, because it's great to have that quick reference too, like because so many times I'm like, right, I've got to find this now and see what it looks like, but I love that fact I can just go, oh, there it is. So yeah, love that so much. It's a great book. If you don't have it, sucks to be you is all I'm going to say. Right, and also, well, we'll talk about future, won't we, 2023 in a second, but Pat, what about you, mate? What's your favorite moment of 2022?
It was leading up to and at Assembly Required this year, doing the panel with Chris Murray for Joe Declassified. Our topic was essentially a snapshot of everything that was canceled whenever the G.I. Joe line was canceled. So we didn't cover things that may have been developed along and canceled well before the line ended, because there are some things from 94 that, you know, were canceled early on. But what we were trying to nail down is what exactly was lost at that moment where they decided to cut the line back to Sergeant Savage only. And so we covered that, and it was a nice exploration, like talking it over with him leading up to it, and then actually delivering it in one concise presentation, because it helped me solidify that even in my own mind.
Awesome. That was fun as well. And Assembly Required was great too. Like, that was the first con I'd been to in about 3 years, which was insane. So that was great as well. So shout out to Brian and everyone involved at Assembly Required. But yeah, that panel was great as well. Pat, really interesting. I got a few pictures of the show. I didn't record it, unfortunately, but I did get some pictures of the actual event. Did you guys record your panel?
We actually didn't. We weren't sure whether or not we were going to be whether you were going to be doing it or somebody else is going to be doing it.
I've got this reputation of just recording panels all the time.
Chris is in the room. He'll record it.
Yeah, and I think the assumptions are made. Not always.
Just bring a tripod. I need to be a little more prepared in the future. Just bring a tripod, set it up, and record it for myself.
I had actually run out of storage on my phone at Assembly Required, so I had to keep deleting old pictures to get other new pictures. Like from the show, that's why I didn't take that much, unfortunately. That was the worst timing, and I didn't realize I had the storage had like literally kicked up until I got there. It was so depressing. Anyway, it was a great show though, and that was an awesome panel, Pat. So I'm glad you enjoyed that, mate. I am gonna go ahead and rub it in about the movie again, but this time I'm gonna say that my favorite moment wasn't watching it with you guys. He was watching it with the Hasbro team. Yes. I still can't believe this happened. But when the movie was you know, they put it out and said, yeah, the animated movie is going to be in theaters. I was so excited. I'm thinking, I'm going to get to see this on the big screen. I'm going to get both like viewings. I'm not going to miss. I'm going to watch every possible opportunity I can get to watch this. I'm doing both. So I did Thursday or Wednesday night. I can't remember. It was Thursday night, I think.
It was and then Thursday Saturday. Night, yeah.
Thursday night and then Saturday afternoon, right? So I thought, yeah, let's do that. We organised that the Saturday afternoon one was going to be the boss fight, Paddy. Was it Lennon Con?
Paddy O'Con.
Right. We got the t-shirts and everything, and obviously that was going to be the Saturday, but the Thursday night I was like, I've got to go see this. And I ended up going on my own because Kate wasn't feeling great. So it was like, okay, like I'll watch it, and you know, it'll be fine. I've gone to movies on my own in the past. I'll look like a sad git, but it's fine. Went there, get to the theater at Providence Mall, and as I go up the stairs, there in front of me at the end of the walkway is Lenny and Emily and a few other kind of people that were kind of milling around as well. And I see them from a distance as I get to the top of the stairs, and they're both going like, hey, like that, like waving. And I'm like, holy crap, I've got a mask on, so like they must recognize the silhouette or something. Walked over there. I'm like,
well, there's very few people who are as tall as you, Chris.
I'm 17 foot 3 and a half, like in comparison to Paddy. So I basically went up to them, had a little chat and everything. They were being really nice. They were like, oh, are you here to see the film? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And Emily just went, right, do you want to see it with us? And I was like, yeah, sure. She said, you should just have enough time to cancel your ticket. And she gave me like actual tickets that they had already purchased for it. And I'm like, oh, thanks. So I did that. And that was awesome. Really nice of her to do in the first place anyway. I said, yeah, you can sit with us. And then Corey and Emily turned up, and it was all basically all of these Hasbro like big wigs. Fred Axon was there as well from Barton. Like, nice. I didn't know he was going to be going to that one. He didn't know I was going to be going to that one. And we bump into each other. It was amazing. And then we get in there, we sit down, we had a great chat as well, like beforehand, loads of fun stuff we were chatting about. And then the commercial comes on, and it's Emily and Lenny, and everyone's like cheering because they're like, you know, there and everything. It was fun. Then we watched the movie, and it was it was such a great experience. I sat next to Emily Cantalupe on the Star Wars brand team, and just like annoyed her the entire time by reciting almost word for word that film. She was just like,
oh, listeners, he did it to us as well.
I did it well, yeah, screening. Constant. I can't help it. I just love talking along to that movie. It's brilliant. Zorana. Anyway, yeah, it was loads of fun. Had a great time. Then afterwards, we all just hung out and started chatting in the foyer. And then we ended up at Dave and Buster's, and I played computer games and random arcade games and random silly all sorts of other crazy Dave and Buster's games with B-Mac from Transformers, Lenny, Emily, Corey, and Emily as well. And it was just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. So I'll never forget. That was a great memory of mine for that particular one. But it's got to be merged in with getting it to see it with, you know, my good long-term friends as well. So there was another showing, guys, that I didn't go with you two. I'm just kidding. Well, obviously with Justin, Boss Fight, and Paddy and everyone. So that was amazing. I think that was my highlight, the movie. But there's so many. The book was great. The Robo Skull, that's related technically.
Oh, man.
No, the Robo, that was this year as well.
That was, you know, like being involved in what was effectively the most incredible Kickstarter I've ever known in my life. Yes, Pat, the Skeledrones have come in as well, and they're incredible. Like, I just... just being involved as well with that project is, you know, so much amazing stuff has happened this year with G.I. Joe. And so, yeah, I've got to say all of those things. And I've got to say all of those things, unfortunately. But yeah, and that's it pretty much for my favourite moments of the year. That kind of brings us to the end of that segment. Let's quickly talk about, before we have to go, let's talk about what we're looking forward to in 2023. Okay, now it's a matter of looking forward. What are we most excited for in the new year? It could be figures we know are coming, or HasLabs being delivered, etc. Swinging back to Paddy again, what are you most looking forward to in 2023, my good man?
I'm really looking forward to getting some more Transformer G.I. Joe crossovers.
Nice.
I've actually really enjoyed the two so far.
Aren't they great?
Megatron and the Striker Bumblebee. They're not perfect. No. Again, they could have done like an extra $5 a budget to help the kibble at the back fold away on both figures.
I don't know what you're talking about.
With Bumblebee.
Don't know what you're talking about.
The half of his tank that Megatron's wearing on his back. Had they had a couple of more hinges, they'd be perfect. But as it stands, they're really, really good. And they're toys, I think, all of us have wanted since we were like
Oh,
seven.
totally. Yeah.
Yeah, like if I'd had these as a kid, they would be the best toys of all time. There's no doubt about it. So I'm hoping that Hasbro have a couple more up their sleeves for next year. Another Decepticon, another Autobot, be nice. Maybe do a vehicle that hasn't been out a million times already. You know,
Agreed.
get us
Agreed.
a vehicle that hasn't made it to the kind of the market for G.I. Joe in a while. There's gonna be a couple. Night Raven would be nice. Thunder Machine, be great.
Could you imagine the size of the transformer of a blooming Night Raven?
Oh, that, but wouldn't it be amazing though? I don't care if it
Would
needs
be
an IGA
amazing.
HasLab.
Make all three
I would
Seekers
take it in a second.
transform. Make all three Seekers transform into the Night Raven, so you can actually get them to scale with everything else.
I mean, I imagine you're going to see like they're going to be named characters. So obviously you're going to get like it's going to be Starscream or Soundwave or somebody. It's probably going to be Optimus and so or somebody else for the Autobots. Havoc as Optimus wouldn't be too bad. I think that might work.
That would be dope, wouldn't it? Because
It'd be all right.
you could kind of like make some of the stuff on the Havoc, not necessarily the robot, but like maybe additional accessories and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Like Roller could be
Little
the
hovercrafty thing.
hovercraft thing, yeah. And then like the back that kind of encloses up could come off and be like almost like a faux
Like the
trailer.
trailer,
Yeah. So that is a possibility,
so
actually, the more I
that's a
think
great
about it.
idea.
I think we've just worked it out, guys.
Yeah,
Perfect.
I think that would probably be the one that it's the right size as well, that it wouldn't be hugely expensive. They can keep it in that sort of, and the robot mode would probably be similar size as Megatron as well. That would probably be if Optimus is coming, that'd be one I'd probably pick for him, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely,
So
definitely.
that would be perfect. I don't know this is coming, I have no idea. But it would be certainly my choice. Or give us a little devilfish sea spray, maybe. Be
Oh, that
nice.
would be cute. Yeah, anything like that would be awesome. Totally agree with
Yeah,
you. Yeah.
but I'm hoping we see a couple of those next year as well.
Awesome. And okay, next up, Justin. What are you looking forward to the most in 2023?
Yeah, it's interesting. It could actually have been talked about in 2022 as well, because that one of
It
the highlights of
Outback?
this
Is it
year.
Tiger Force Outback?
No. I'll finally get my Target delivery of Tiger Force Outback in 2023.
I describe Target as everyone's favorite pre-order cancellation service.
That's why the stores have like probably 50 of them in stock at every Target store you go to, because everybody ordered them and then canceled them, and now they're stuck with them in their stores. Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, one thing that none of us actually mentioned in the 2022 review was the monumental success of the Histank HasLab, which was something that kind of took the world by storm for the period of time that it was running. And 2023 supposedly is when that HasLab is going to be delivered. So I'm going to, with slight trepidation, because I don't know where I'm going to put it, say that the Histank HasLab is probably what I'm looking forward to in 2023. If only to like get my head around exactly how big this thing is going to be. And of course, I'm also a Thundercats fan. I'm supposed to have the Thunder Tank delivered in February, which is supposed to be like
Oh
this. And now the Histank, I don't, you know, I cleared out huge spaces in my garage. I sold a bunch of stuff to Toy Vault this
like
past
your
summer.
car,
And yeah,
the
I'm just going to put my car out in the driveway, and I'm just going to have the Thunder Tank and the Histank sitting where my car usually park.
kids have been sold on the
Yeah, exactly.
on the dark web.
Yeah.
You've
You could use them
but
like one of Chris will remember those little Tykes cars kids used to get when we were here. The big
Big
plastic
red
red
ones,
car with the
red and
yeah.
blue,
Oh
yeah.
yeah,
You
I
could just
know
use
that.
his tank as one of them.
There you go. There you go.
I'm on my way to work, honey. Beep beep.
Good
like
thing I live at
yeah.
the top of the hill. I can just kind
Using
of coast it on down.
the Thunder tank as a skateboard.
Yeah, you could stand one foot on the Hiss tank and one foot on the Thunder tank, and you'd be
There you go.
a right
I love it.
tanker. Right, that's amazing. That
Love
is
it.
amazing. You're right,
So yeah,
though.
I
The
mean,
HasLab, yeah.
I'm again a little bit of caution just because it's going to be so big and it's going to kill my display space. But I'm looking forward to it anyway. I'm really excited for it.
No, it's almost like we have covered all of the main events this year by how we've done this separation of segments. So we've done well here, guys. Don't worry. We've
Think
covered
so.
everything we needed to cover. What about you, Pat? What are you looking forward most to in 2023?
Well, I'm just going to expand on what both of them said, because whenever I saw in the notes more O-ring G.I. Joe Transformers crossovers, I was like, did Chris just assume what I want? And I was like, oh no, that's what Patty is picking. So yeah, I really like that as a choice. I'm again eager to see the O-ring stuff get expanded upon. And I, aside from the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover that I am excited for, I really want to know what is happening with the O-ring stuff from Hasbro. And with a Sky Striker shipping, that was whenever I kind of thought that it would be a good idea for them to kind of reorganize and regroup and give it another try as far as revealing what their plans may be, because it doesn't seem like it's going away entirely. But I would like there to be some more frequent releases. And if there isn't, I have the Hiss Tank coming in from the HasLab, and I'm confident that somebody is going to make a conversion kit, and I will have a two-seater Hiss Tank or something to convert that into 3 3/4 to be a larger Hiss Tank. So whether or not it's meant for 3 3/4, they're going to go in there.
It's going to be like
just a dump a few of them right in your cockpit. You're good to go.
I think I've seen a couple of people put out teasers of, like, you know, two-seater setups for that HasLab Hiss.
I have, yeah. So I'm hoping Non-Nef from the Transformers end of things.
Yeah, yeah.
They did the 6-inch throne for Classified. Maybe they will have something, or somebody else.
That instantly made me think, Pat, of Micro Machines when you get Super Van City, and then like it transforms into all the little cars inside it, like driving on the city. That's effectively what this Hiss Tank is for O-ring figures. It's Super Tank City, isn't it? That's what it would be. So all of your like figures are just like, there's like 50 of them in the back, just all hanging out on different, like on the chair, on the gun rack. Yeah, I think you could. I think there'll be conversion kits almost certainly.
It's going to have to be more than just the cockpit. Otherwise, they'll be in, like, the turret in the back, like, reaching up to control everything.
Or on the shoulders
just
of another
booster
one.
Seat. They have a booster seat that just goes in the turret. And,
the, like, two of them with a long jacket over to so they can't see. That's amazing. No, that's great. Yeah, more O-ring would be great. All that good stuff. I think we just need a bit more, like, definitely like an idea about what they have up their sleeves, because that's something that, yeah, they've been holding back quite a long time now. There's been like maybe 4 live events where we haven't really had an explanation yet. And it's more so like they go, we'll talk about that, you know, later. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that. Yeah, so hopefully
this isn't just me imagining it. They've actually referenced them. They're going to talk more about it later.
Yeah, so they did say it at PulseCon, yeah.
It's that Sky Striker. You got the Sky Striker. Everybody's excited about it. Now's the time to go.
Definitely. Yep. Definitely agree with you on that one. I'm going to swing it back to a kind of classified related things I'm looking forward to, because obviously you guys have, you know, you've covered so many different things here. Like obviously the HasLab is, you know, definitely something that I think we're all looking forward to seeing in both Sky Striker and Hiss Tank, you know, massive successes. The Robo Skull as well is another one that we just mentioned earlier as another amazing thing to look forward to. Maybe a bit further on, who knows when those things are coming, but yeah, like in terms of just looking forward to the new year, I thought I'd kind of keep it a bit more simple. And I went with a couple of classified releases that are kind of, again, close to home. The first one I'm going to throw in there is Big Ben, because I love the fact that we're getting characters from like 91. We're getting characters that are like not often revisited, not often really utilized. The last time I think Big Ben was used was in the Revolution crossover, the IDW comic series crossover, where effectively he was in the first issue for about one page and then killed off. Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was like, you know, I was like, oh, Big Ben. Oh, he's dead. Damn it. So like, you know, to get a character who, again, has that kind of like UK connection. And again, he's an American figure. He was brought out in the Real American Hero series. And this wasn't like a figure they utilized or an idea or a design from, you know, the past in the UK or anything. This is a specific American figure, but obviously with the caveat that he was a temporary on like exchange program,
something like that.
So
I don't remember off the top of my head, but it was something like that. Yeah,
so there was that kind of like, you know, there's a few caveats in there, but like I just love the fact that, you know, he's in the Deke cartoon as well, so you know he's had some coverage, but the fact that we're getting that figure in, you know, in 2023, I'm just really excited for. He looks fantastic. The digital renders don't always do them full justice, But sometimes you can look at them and go, oh yeah, that's going to be a beauty. And I looked at that Big Ben. Go on.
Sorry, buddy. he's got that sneaky Palitoy SAS squad leader head sculpt as well.
Yeah, exactly. The eagle head sculpt thing on that he comes with. Very good addition to make him an army builder if you want to do that as well, and or customize on a different, you know, figure that may be all black and look like a eagle completely. So yeah, I think that's awesome. So that is definitely something that I'm looking forward to. The other one is, oddly enough, and I'm not sure if it's like everyone is really this excited about it, but I know I am, and that's the Tele Viper, because that figure, again, just like the Crimson Guard in the UK, was on everything. It was really prevalent in the comics. It was really prevalent in almost all of the VHS tapes I watched. Like, Tele Vipers always, like, are utilized
all,
in that.
All the merch.
All the merch. As well. The
Tele Vipers and everything. Like, I had a Tele Viper pencil case.
That kneel down card art where he's just looking at the thing like that with his... Yeah, with holding his TV gun or vacuum cleaner or whatever it is. Big time. Really happy for that. So super excited for the Tele Viper. And of course, he comes with the Trouble Bubble. So unbelievable. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a crazy year for Classified. I think I'm excited to hear more about O-Ring stuff. I'm excited for more Transformers crossovers. And I'm super excited to see just how much ridiculous stuff we've got coming next year for Classified. I think it's going to be another heavy wallet year.
They'll probably hit 100 figures next year, right?
Emily mentioned that, I think, last PulseCon, didn't she? She said it was going to... we're going to be approaching that at the end of next year, which is
It's amazing. If you look back through 2022, like... we've seen this litany of pre-orders, and like during each of these convention appearances where they first revealed some of these figures, you know, you saw ETAs of 2023 and you kind of mentally sort of prepared yourself for that, but they've all like kind of flooded in 2022 to the point where we're almost caught up with where the pre-orders are. We've almost gotten everything that was pre-ordered to the point where, you know, Cover Girl and Crimson Bat and some of those figures are starting to show up in Europe right now. And Barbecue. Yeah. So, I mean, at some point you realize, okay, we're going to get caught up with pre-orders. They're going to start revealing more. And I have to believe the production is going to be kind of hopefully more regulated. It was like, there was a while where you'd hear about something and then it took 8 months before it got to you. This was sort of the same, but then all of a sudden that all started stacking up at once. And we've gotten like, I don't know, 20 figures in a 2 month period of time. Yeah. So at some point things you feel like are going to start maybe getting more normal, where there's a kind of better cadence of regular releases throughout the year and they're not all bunched up, but I guess we'll see what happens.
A wave every couple of months, 2 to 3 months is probably like the perfect release tempo, to be honest. Yep.
Yeah, and I think that's everything, guys. I think we've covered everything we wanted to cover on the show today. Thank you so much for jumping on, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been a crack in 2022 in terms of the show. Like, I've been really excited just to see the growth and to see like people enjoying it more and us getting more content like this out. And thank you so much for you guys as well for kind of like giving up your time. I know it's like almost, Justin's just going, hurry up, he's doing this, he's like, just finish it, just say Full Force.
I wouldn't do that.
I need to go.
Believe me, I'd much rather do this than what I'm
to do, which we're gonna, I want to stay on. I'll keep the webcam going. No, but honestly, seriously, thank you so much for all you guys do as well for me. It's absolute pleasure doing these shows, and it's been a crack in 2022. So much fun, so much chat, so much stuff to talk about all the time. It's been insane. Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure today as well.
Thank you. This has been a pleasure. It's been a great year all around, and recording these shows has been a big part of it. So I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you for including me.
For the last 6 months.
At least half of the year.
No, always welcome, buddy. Always welcome. Same for both of you. I'm sorry, I'm not including you, Pat. For both of you, Justin, and I'm just kidding. No, for all of you guys, always welcome to do these shows. You know that. Paddy, whenever you get an opportunity, mate, and you want to talk to us about some stuff that comes up, you always just let us know, and we'll organize it so we can do it in a time that suits you as well, mate.
Yeah, I think Brian is planning like 17 Kickstarters for next year, so we have to chow to at some point.
not a problem. And of course, Pat as well, mate, thank you so much for doing so much this year for the channel, for the weeklies, for the monthlies, for everything. I really appreciate it, buddy.
It's always fun. It's not hard to make the time to have fun at least once a week, right?
Yeah,
At
only
least once
once.
a
time, but it's not a chore. It's fun.
Awesome. I'm glad. He's only saying that because he wants to get a raise of zero up from zero. He has to pay to come
That's
on this
still
show.
like a 50% raise, though, right?
Yes, you're getting 100% raise, Pat. Give you 100% raise.
Sweet.
Merry Christmas.
Amazing. It's been a pleasure. Right then, let us know what your favorite moments have been in this amazing 2022. Your favorite classified figures, your favorite G.I. Joe related moments. Tell us what you're looking forward to in 2023. Let us know in the comments below. We're at the end. Thanks for watching. If you stayed this long, congratulations. We'll be back with a weekly for Christmas Eve, but you'll be seeing this after the fact. So I hope you enjoyed the Christmas Eve episode. We'll be back with the normal resumed kind of programming as soon as all of this stuff is out of the way. I'll be getting some more Newsburst extras out. Hopefully, we'll have another live event to deal with early in January. And fingers crossed for
And
more.
obviously, you're all going to be getting your Sky Strikers in January too. So
Exactly.
obviously, there's going to have to be some sort of monthly, unboxing of a Sky Striker
Yeah,
thing.
we'll have to work something out, definitely. Yeah, we'll try.
Not me, of course, because I was not offered to Irish people unless you use Zavvi, which apparently is a good thing that I didn't back a true Zavvi anyway.
They're just cancelling, aren't
Given
they, as well?
what's happening to all the people with their victory sabers, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, seeing as we'll end on a low note then. It's been a pleasure.
Happy New Year, except to Zavvi users who are screwed. A few.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Happy New Year. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining us for the Full Force Monthly New Year's Day special. Massive thank you to my awesome co-hosts, Patrick Stewart, Justin Bell, Paddy Lennon. Happy New Year. See you next month. And as always, 1, 2, 3. Brilliant. Amazing. And
I always end early.
Pat's frozen. Look, he's all right. I thought he had a Zorana arm thing going on there for a second, but no. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.